You know when your girlfriend is a slut when you're an Uber driver and it's only surging on her house. The whole city is dead, but her pussy is at like an 8.6 surge rating. And you're like, wait a minute, I think I'm dating a harlot. All right, Spokane Worship Bailey, it's on the Maricopa. Thank you very much.
The super don't have a girlfriend.
I didn't know.
All right, but we had a podcast recently.
I told you, Kyle. I'm sorry.
Let me tell you something. Kyle was like, Kyle's like, hey, Eric, let me tell you something super serious. You're dating like a skanky ass loose bitch. And I was like, that's not true. She's a fine lady. You know? Okay, sure. The first time I had sex with her, she had a bruise on her ass that looked like a tattoo. That's fine. It's not like she's just getting rammed all the time and people are smacking her ass, causing bruises. That's not true. She just, you know, maybe she fell on jacks, or she's playing jacks in the schoolyard. Someone rolls dice and she falls on jacks and has a big bruise on her ass. That's possible. I'm not dating the skankiest whore in New Orleans. That's definitely not true. Yeah, maybe she sits on things that aren't like proper. Like, you know, like how they keep pigeons off of certain railways? You know, and they keep the spikes. Like, maybe my girlfriend just like aggressively sat on pigeon spikes one time. She's not a huge whore with a giant bruise on her ass. That's not true. Yeah, it was true, I guess. Here's how millennial chicks. Okay, listen, guys. If you're dating a girl who's a millennial, here's how she'll break up with you. She won't take your calls for 2 days, and then she'll change her profile picture. Like, I'm a different bitch. Click, click, Instagram, Instagram. I'm a different bitch. Click, click, Instagram, Instagram. You're Instagramming people, your new face, in like black and white. New girl. But you're not like texting me back or something. Cool. I was just broken up with by a millennial. Like, super doesn't take my calls. And then it's like, I got a different profile picture on Facebook. So you should just know I'm some other bitch now. So anyway, I found out I was broken up with because I go to this comedy show Wednesday night at Carrollton Station. And then John Rowe was like, oh, I saw your girlfriend last night. I was like, oh, that's cool. Interesting. Oh, yeah, she was at Lost Love Lounge. I was like, I wasn't booked on that show. And he's like, oh, she was making out with another dude there. Interesting. Yeah, so my girlfriend's just going out in public to comedy shows I'm not booked on. And like super making out with dudes that aren't me or whatever.
But you didn't know her long enough to be your girlfriend. That's the only thing.
See, okay, but when someone's like, I'm your girlfriend, you know, and then I like pack her Thanksgiving feet. In this day and age. So I should just understand that all women, people are garbage. Little free spirit. I'm having a meltdown right now. I don't know if people realize that.
You're right. You're right. You're awesome.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I heard things. You know, I was also Uber driving today, and this guy was like, "Oh, really? You were dating a girl for 6 weeks and she cheated on you? That sounds terrible." I had 5 kids with a woman. I was married for 39 years. I go on a business trip for a week. I go to Colorado Springs to learn more about insurance salesmanship.
And while I'm gone, I come home. There's a note stabbed into the pillow saying, I go back with my high school sweetheart from Florida. You will never hear me from me again. After 39 years of marriage, I'm 58 years old. We have 5 kids together. Go suck my fucking clitoris. You'll never see me again. What? I got off easy, man. I learned I was dating a slut after 6 weeks.
We told you she was like that when you first met her.
I was trying to make a good...
I'll explain it when I get back to the stage. Shut up. Go ahead, Eric.
She likes it. I'm
taking a picture. We had a podcast. I was trying to tell you. I'm trying to make a decent girl out of this lady.
You cannot change these girls.
I'm trying to domesticate this wild broad in the jungle. Alright, well, John, bro, thank you for helping me. Instead of being married for 39 years, I got in and out of some crazy skanko that I told my family about, and now I want to shoot myself. Smoke pot, worship aliens. I've been Eric Hollibock. Thank you very much. So I've been having a meltdown for almost a week now, and you know, when you break up with someone cheats on you, you tend to go back and see what your ex is doing. So I met up with my ex-girlfriend, Kristen Jones, at the country club, which is also the last place I heard that she made out with another dude when we were kind of dating. Anyway, here's Kristen Jones.
So we're at the country club. This is Highway Diary. I'm with my ex-girlfriend, Kristen Jones.
Hi.
You were just telling me a story about the last time you were at this country club, or one of the times you got a text from me.
It was the last time I was here.
We had a tumultuous relationship, didn't we? I send you a text, I can't see you anymore. Here's how I felt.
We were not together.
Well, we had been together. We broke up for a while.
We had broken up like 3 months before.
I was trying to get back, you know, I was doing certain dating moves, you know. But I felt like the whole time I was just, like, trying to convince you of something. Like, I was trying to convince you, like, yo, I'm a nice guy, look what I do, look what I do.
Trying to win the prize.
Well, just, I needed loyalty. I kept telling you, like, what I get from you and your son is, like, a sense of, like, family. So I can go and conquer comedy, I can deal with the mean girls, and then I come back, and I need this thing. You bailed me out of jail, you know, which you wouldn't let me see your kid for a while, but then the bad boy gets locked up and all of a sudden I'm Uncle Eric, you know what I mean? Then all of a sudden I meet the kid for the first time. Crazy.
We were at the museum.
Oh yeah, we told him it was the museum. But anyway, I told you recently I got cheated on last week. What? Oh yeah.
Yeah, you guys probably weren't in a defined relationship.
No,
you were probably trying to, like, force some type of commitment, some type of title for your neuroticism.
My eroticism needs a title? That's my problem?
Neuroticism.
Neuroticism.
Needing to put a title on it. Needing
It's not ownership, it's a mutual, it's a relationship.
Right.
Both people commit that they're going to be with each other. That's not ownership. And if both people are active participants and not passive observers of the other's love moves, then it actually works out.
So you were committed with this girl?
Of course.
For how long?
I don't know. So, let's see. We met October 23rd.
You know exactly how many days and
last
how many
Wednesday
hours
I was... Or last... Today's Monday. 6 days ago Tuesday, I found out that she was making out with another dude at the bar.
How did you find out?
John Rowe, I'm waiting to perform at Carrollton Station. I signed a list. I'm hanging out with John. And he's like, oh, I need to tell you something. I saw your girlfriend last night. I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, she was at Lost Love. I was like, that's weird. I wasn't booked there. And he's like, yeah, well, she was making out with another dude. Cool. Then I text her, and she told me that was true. And then, what else?
She ignored you?
Then I blocked her from Facebook and her phone.
Oh, I know how that goes. I couldn't email, I couldn't text, couldn't call. no Facebook message.
It always feels like a betrayal, though. It's like I do this, and it's like I just want someone to commit back. You know my friend Vidal Luazo, you know him? He told me, he's like, here's what you do, Eric, here's your problem. You have like this football, and you pass it off to a girl, and it's too heavy, because it's like, I cook, I'll do anything, I'll drive you to work, I'll do anything. And then it's like, and he's like, why don't you take little strips off that football, like pieces of beef jerky, and only reward good behavior? Don't throw the whole, it's heavy, your whole football. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a heavy football.
What do you remember, Kristen?
I remember you doing my dishes and telling me, why don't you fry me an egg? And I said, why don't you fry your own damn egg? And you expect immediate reciprocation. It's what therapists like to call quid pro quo, which our good friend Kelly Stone actually also let me know is a form of sexual abuse control. I do this, you do that in return, immediate. And I used to say, wouldn't you rather me do something for you? Wouldn't you rather me suck your dick because I want to, not because I feel like I owe it to you? Or wouldn't you rather me like cook you up a couple of eggs because I'm in the mood to? And I had plans to get in a shower that morning. I was like running around, but you'd had your 5-hour energy.
All hopped up. Fired
all
up.
All hyped up. You're like,
too early for that.
You're like, dishes, to-do list, 13 things on it. I've already done 7 of them. And I'm like, it's fucking 8 in the morning.
Whoa. That's a huge accusation.
I know. No, it's true. And I'm like, I got to shower, you know, fry your own damn eggs. And you were like, it's over. That's it. I'm going to storm out of here like a toddler and get in my car, drive away. Done with you. We did a lot of that. A lot of, I'm done with you. Oh, well, no, I'm done with you. Oh, yeah? I'm done with you.
We do act like babies.
I'm done. Yeah, and at the end, when we last stopped hanging out, which, look, I think it's been like 3 or 4 months, August, September, October, November, 4 months ago, we both said to each other, like, well, fuck you. Yeah, okay, well, fuck you too. I'm done. You can't be done because I'm done. Cool.
I'm done there first.
Don't call me anymore. I'm blocking you. Well, I already blocked you. I'm hanging up. What? It's done. And then we didn't talk for 4 months. I had to use a middleman to get a hold of you today to recommend that you be blessed with my presence again. Did the middleman tell you what my alternative was to telling him to say, hey, Kristen wants to see you before she leaves town?
You were going to, I don't know, come by my house or cut my ears off?
Yeah, well, I know where you live. And I know you love 5-hour energy. And I thought you were still doing final exams. So I kind of felt bad to distract you and, like, make you come and sit in a hot tub and drink beer and smoke a joint with me in the middle of the day. But I was thinking the other alternative would be to just show up and be like, hey, hi, I'm leaving town. You've been, like, posting creepy things on my Facebook. Even though I can't even get a hold of you.
No, I just got here. You know what happened.
I got broken
up with in a shocking way. And then I'm loyal. I'm a one girl at a time kind of guy. So if I'm with a new girlfriend, I can't talk to you.
Oh, since she cheated on you, you're like, oh, okay.
Then I got my heart broken and then I saw.
How long were you with this girl?
Don't worry about it. So
like 3 weeks?
Six
weeks. Okay. Isn't that low?
2 weeks of dating. I took her to Bacchanal. You know, I'm taking her out. I don't have any money. It's been like $100 on her. I was like, listen, lady, you know, you're my girlfriend, and I'm not super cool with you, like, kissing other dudes when I'm like, you know what I mean? Is that the bargaining, the quid pro quo?
Well, I kissed other dudes. So, actually, here.
Right.
It's kind of. Not in this hot
tub. Right over there.
Story, you sent me a text message. Said, I can't do this. I don't want to see you anymore because you couldn't take the games anymore. My heart, you know.
It's a hard thing to unlock.
Your heart. Well, yeah. And I was upset and I said, I just want to make make out with somebody, and I was kind of whiny and kind of drunk. And so there was a gay guy here who was young and talkative and friendly, and I really thought that I was just kind of complaining and gonna get sympathy, but instead what I got was like, oh honey, this guy sucks, like, if you want to make out, I'll totally make out with you right now. I was like, yeah, I kind of do want to make out. And they were like, yeah, fuck this guy. And so then I made out with this guy, and then I, yeah.
And then, well, you kept getting drunk, and then you told me to pick up your kid from school.
No,
by the way, you made out with another dude.
I sobered up, and then I had to drive on the highway. I did ask you.
I didn't want to clean up your messes while at the same time you're kissing other people. It's like, look, if you want my endless loyalty, my ability to do favors constantly for someone that I'm in love with, that's, I can do that, but what I can't have is the infidelity as well. Because what I needed was like a home feeling, like I said.
Well,
that's what I would get.
Maybe doing all of your favors is not being in love. Maybe doing all of your favors is like the way that you think that you earn love, or I don't know.
No, doing things for each other. See, I think like love is like a verb, and when you're doing shit for each other, that's showing that you're.
Do you remember the last words that we said to each other before we decided not to talk 4 months ago?
Not really.
I do. So we were talking about your big plans and your dreams, your goals for the future. And I reminded you, what if everything doesn't go how you want it to go? Like, what if you hit some bumps in the road? What if, like, your big master plan for success doesn't take off the way that you want, and then you get to a point, or the alternative, I said, or you succeed, but you're so wrapped up. You told me things like, I don't have time for friends, you know, I'm very task-oriented, constant to-do list. And I said, you know what, because you would even come over and be like, hey, don't get mad, but I set an alarm, we're gonna chill for 30 minutes. I set an alarm, let's chill now, 30 minutes alarm's gonna go off, we're chilling until then. And I just said, like, shit might not go the way you want, and if it does, and if you get to the end of the road, what if you look around and you're really fucking lonely because you didn't have time to have genuine interactions with people. You were just so busy in like quid pro quo, success-driven mode. You know, how can I get to the top? I know your dad worked on Wall Street, and so that's something that like you're into, the success drive, the type A personality. And you said, well, what if I'm right? And if I am right, actually, you said, if I'm right, you're going to be really sorry, meaning like you're going to be successful and be wealthy. And I said, well, if I'm right, you know, if you're right, cool, then I'm going to be sorry. Well, if I'm right, then you're going to be sorry because, yeah, you're going to get to the top. I said, we have different ideas of what it means to be at the top. And you're going to get to your top of success and money, schedules and to-do lists, and be really lonely, really lonely, because you didn't make time for it.
We also had the big breakup when you, our first time, when we were official boyfriend girlfriend, we broke up because you got sick and I had to go. But my argument there was we had spent like 3 days together and I had neglected my paying of the rent. I had neglected my doing of my homework, and you got sick on day after 3 days of hanging out. And I just had to leave. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. I had to leave to make money so my car wouldn't be repossessed. And I would also say that when I work on other things, I'm not doing it selfishly for my own schedule. I was doing it for the worship of the whole unit. That's what I'm saying. Like, even if I'm Uber driving, even if I'm doing schoolwork, I'm doing that in worship of the relationship for the future.
That morning, I felt like shit. I felt shitty that morning. I was sick. I had strep throat. My phone was dying, and I was like, dude, will you give me some water? Like, give me some care.
I said, do you want me to take you to the doctor?
You, like, slept in because you were hungover, and I was dying. And
huge accusation.
Like, okay, well, I see that you're dying on the love seat, but I'm gonna go to work because I got money and bills. Like, peace out, bitch. Hope you feel better.
After 3 days, you're sick on the third day. 3 days of hanging out,
and
neglecting my other
sick,
duties.
And then you get sick, yeah. And then what do you want? You want to sit around in my place and be taken care of like a little fucking baby.
Oh, really?
And
did I bring any food?
I fed you Vicodin. I fed you water.
Did I bring any food for us for 3 days?
You showed up with Chinese food, which to me is like hangover food, but not being sick food. Like, and actually...
What do you think wonton soup is?
No.
If like, you're sick, wonton soup is pretty goddamn good. Do not be
Chinese
racist against Chinese
sick
people.
Eating Chinese food seems to me like...
No.
Fucking...
All right.
I
have to admit, the beef lo mein was a little extra. That's not medicine. That's comfort food. But the wonton soup was medicinal.
Comfort food for me is like macaroni and cheese, apple juice.
Fuck your apple juice.
Tea.
I'm never talking to you again.
Herbal tea.
Yeah.
Water. Massages.
Oh, I never gave you any massages.
Phone chargers when they're needed.
Have you met a better masseuse than
tacos.
This guy?
I wanted tacos that morning.
What about cook? Am I a good cook? Am I a massager?
I read the 17-page paper that you wrote about me recently out loud to someone that I was dating while I straddled him. Telling him about you, and I read that paper.
Sure, you got to emotionally torture everybody.
Well, like, he was a sociopath, so it worked out because he literally had no feelings. And so I got to talk to him about this one dope with feelings that I was with who wrote a big paper about me that was banned from the University of New Orleans, which was really a true mark of when I felt at home in New Orleans. But I read it out loud to him, and I got to the part where you were like, and I, at the mansion, cooked eggs Benedict salmon on perfectly toasted English muffins. And
no lies there.
And I was like, damn, I kind of miss when Eric used to cook. And the guy I was hanging out with actually even sort of made me be like, oh, I kind of miss people that had feelings and a concern for other people at all. Dating is sociopath. Like, they literally, they don't give a fuck about anyone. Like, they're out there just trying to, like, make gains in the world, con people, lie to people. They don't actually feel any concern for other people. And that made me miss you a little bit, so.
And Kristen, even if I could see you once a week or twice a week, I would try to give you as much quality time as possible. But the reality is, if I'm in grad school, I do stand-up, and I Uber drive for my money, there's times I have to be apart. And I felt like with you, it would never be enough. I would give you one day quality time. That's all the quality time I have in the world. And I said I don't have friends because I didn't have time. Like, you would be my only friend, and if I had extra time, I would spend it only with you.
My favorite thing about when we dated, because of my tendency to get really distracted easily, was how you would tell me, because you are more structured. We're like opposites attract in that sense, you know? Like, my spirit is really free and spontaneous, and like, I think it, I want it, I go and do it, and you're more like on a specific track, a to-do list, like a plan. And anyway, you would say, all right, it's Thursday, give me a hug goodbye, and say, I will see you Monday at noon, we're gonna have lunch, we're gonna go to this place, and kiss me on the cheek. And be like, okay, goodbye. And I liked that, because then I could kind of focus, and nobody's ever really done that before. I guess it's always been more of a game, more of a sort of like, who's gonna miss who first, and like, when are we gonna see each other? Like, where, that's the mystery. But with you, you'd be like, okay, 3 days, see you this time, I'll pick you up, you know, don't take mushrooms this time, and see you there.
And then those things, did they tend to happen when I would do that?
Yeah, except for the one time that I canceled and you got locked up.
Yeah, you did cancel a date, and then I was arrested shortly after. Did you feel, like, responsible? That's when you, like...
I thought there was some sort of, like, rage thing. Like, when you text me and you're like, I'm in the back of a cop car, I was like, oh, my God, like, I barely know this person. I canceled my, like, what, third date... He's from New Jersey. He probably fucking, like, ripped someone's throat out. And, you know, it's like, oh, damn. And I also was kind of like, yeah, if he had been with me, and it was a charge that had to do with your aggressive attitude, and I think that had we have hung out that day, you would not have been pissy.
I didn't get my Kristen medicine.
You wouldn't have been that pissy, like, get the fuck away from my car, meter maid. Eric, you would have been more like, it's a beautiful day, meter maid, like, Kristen reminds me to enjoy life, right? That's what I do. That's what I try to do. It's my mission.
It's your birthday.
Oh, are you talking about the time you finally pressured me into letting you put the title of girlfriend on me?
Pressure, emotional abuse. Finally. Fact, that's an emotional abuse.
You hit me when I was most vulnerable, which was my birthday. Most vulnerable day of the year.
Look, I gotta act like a coiled snake and strike when my prey is vulnerable. So you gotta trap these crazy Texas ladies down these days.
What'd you say?
That's how you trap these wild Texas horses these days, you know? By getting them on their birthday when they're all emotional about the world and the concrete jungle they live in. That's when the cobra strikes.
And we were supposed to go and spend the day out in the forest that day because it was my birthday and I wanted to be surrounded by nature. You told me you'd pick me up. There's a weird thing that happens on my birthday where I don't really want to be confined by plans. I get kind of defiant and sort of like, oh, well, I'll just see where the wind blows me today. And you wanted to come pick me up.
At 2 p.m., we're going to the fucking forest so that I can go to the forest and go to class after that. It's your fucking birthday. I'm doing something nice for you. Get in the fucking car.
So 8:30 a.m. rolls around?
I don't think it was that early. Probably 11 a.m. or something.
When you came over finally?
I don't know.
I think you came over around 4, because it was, like, pretty soon to the time when the bus was getting there. So you come over to console me, because I'd had a rather drastic and dramatic day involving hallucinogens and police and all kinds of things that I don't want to talk about. So I call you, and I'm like, hey, I need a human here, so come over and console me, because I was born today. And you come over, and what happened?
I probably had paperwork. I was like, this is a girlfriend contract. You know what I mean?
Contract?
This means that you can't sleep with other people, you can't make out with other people. I am now trapping you in a relationship.
You had, like, the needle ready. You wanted to prick my finger and get blood writing. You're like, we're going to be blood brothers. Let's slice your hand.
Or did I just give you some cuddles and some reassurance?
That was your great-great-grandma's.
Whoa, not true. But you would have fit in her wedding dress, but she did die in it. So I thought that it may have been haunted, but, you know, whatever.
So I start this emotional birthday rant. And I thought that I was angry because my son got hurt at school. Remember? Yeah. I was saying Archer.
He got beaten up by not...
They were giving me some shit about him missing a lot of school. And so I was kind of like, well, who's to say that school is really the best place for a kid, you know? And I was kind of having you there to bounce this around with me, this idea that maybe kids aren't, you know, that well off by being in school the whole time. And I got into some legal trouble in New Orleans. Like, the police showed up that day on my birthday to tell me that my son was missing too much school. And I was ranting, saying, well, he just got hurt yesterday. He fell, he skinned his knee. And I thought that I was mad about that because they didn't tell me. And then I was like, well, the whole reason he got hurt is because he was running around on the concrete sidewalks that they have where their school is in, like, a temporary dwelling. And they don't have a playground, so they run around on concrete. And that's what I said. I was like, oh, he got hurt because they don't even have a playground to run on. They're running around on concrete outside on fucking sidewalks. And then, because of the mushrooms I'd taken that day, I started to cry. And I said, I feel like it was a desperate moment. You remember?
I was there.
So desperate.
I was there. That's when I strike.
And you're just watching me from afar. You're on the other side of the couch, all sly. You're like, ready to move in. You're like, is she gonna cry? she gonna go for?
I just had a fishing pole and I was just jiggling the lure a little bit, like a cobra approaching.
Dr. Phil, too, like, tell me more. And how did that make you feel? And I cried and I said, I feel like a flower child stuck in this concrete jungle, urban society with all these rules. And then I broke into tears and cried. And you were like, oh, don't cry. But you, like, laughed at me. And I laughed, too, because I was like, why the fuck am I crying about grass right now? Like, an absence of grass was, for whatever reason, so shocking to me. Like, the kids run on concrete. It's like, rules, grass, concrete. I broke down. And you were like, it's okay. I'm here. Eric's here. Let's put a ring on it. Be in a relationship. I'll make you happy. I'll take you to nature. I'll take you to nature.
That day happened.
Come on, flower child. Be mine. I'll take you to nature.
I did take you to nature, didn't I? You also...
You were like, that's what we were supposed to do today. Why'd you take mushrooms? Yeah. We were supposed to go to the forest. And I was like, I thought I would take the mushrooms and we would go to the forest and I just wouldn't even tell you. But I was so... They were called penis envy mushrooms, and they're like 4 times stronger than other ones, and I'd been holding on to them for like 4 months from a friend in Texas. And you were like,
I was like, I need a text message if you want me to come from UNO to pick you up to take you to nature, because I thought you may have canceled, you may have just not texted me back. So I'm like, what do you want?
Up at my house and rang the doorbell, Nazi style, like literally like SWAT team style, like.
Have you reached a higher state of consciousness? Knock, knock, like, knock.
You know what I did when the cops were ringing my doorbell like 39 times constantly? Yeah. Do you know what I did? Did I tell you what I did?
Took a bath?
Yeah. I just hopped in the bathtub upstairs in the mansion, the million-dollar mansion I lived in.
Is that when you were taking me sexy leg pictures?
No, it was another time. Oh. That was way another time. I was in panic, okay?
That's the highlights of our relationship.
Fitbit, one of those like Fitbit heart rate things, and it like soared my heart rate doubled. So I was like, cool, I'm dying right now because the police are here. It's my birthday. I'm on mushrooms and I'm dead right now. And so I hopped in the tub and I put a bunch of lavender bath salt in there. I was like, I'm just taking a bath. And I tried to convince myself I was in another place, which is kind of what I did when we had sex.
Disrespectful. You were just like, I wish I was in a different place with some other geezer.
Sorry,
on me.
I felt like it was getting a little heavy, so I had to tie it into an insult.
So rude.
Canadian way, right? I'm trying to be funny like you.
I want more love jokes. But anyway, listen. Don't talk about how I'm a terrible lover. Whatever.
I told you one time, fuck me with your soul, Eric. I stopped you from your...
The normal scheduled
your
thrusting?
Routine, you're like, I got a stopwatch. You're moving to this position. Here comes... Wait. I was about to do this. And I'm like, hey, you... Stop using your brain and fuck me with your soul. And
but
like,
you know,
I don't have a soul. I don't know what that means. I'm from New Jersey. I don't have a soul.
But I need to do a stretching routine for 30 minutes before. It's a whole thing. I need to have a sauna. I need to shave certain places very carefully. Look, you also met my father when he came to help me with my legal issues.
Dad.
Do you remember that day we met?
Your dad.
What do you remember about my dad?
Your dad. I remember that he made fun of me for drinking pumpkin beer, which I knew you said he would do, because he was like authentically German, and I'm drinking beer flavored in pumpkin. And I remember that he was kind. I thought he was kind and protective. You, both of you, at the end of the night, you were like, "Are you sure you can walk to your car?" I'm like, "Dude, just block away. I got it." But really, after y'all left, I just went back in and partied with some strangers for another hour or so.
See, the scheduled time I would give you was never enough.
I'm a girl that always wants more.
For real. But yeah, finally I got... We were so pissed because during that court appearance, so I got arrested because a meter maid confused a staple gun with a handgun. And so we went to court that day when my dad came from New Jersey, and my lawyer kept going, "Where's the staple gun? You didn't bring the fucking staple gun out here, because as soon as that is in the courtroom, your case is over." He turned in the staple gun. "You don't have a fucking gun, because it was just a staple gun." And so then they were like, okay, well, let's reschedule court until we get the staple gun in for another 2 months.
And you're like texting me in the back of the cop car. It's all coming back to me. Are you done with all that? Are you done?
Yeah, I was found not guilty 2 months after you met my dad. We had another court case. My lawyer forced them to get the... September.
After we already cut ties. After we already said, no, fuck you.
I think you met my dad in August.
Yeah, I met him when he came down in August.
Yeah. It was too hot for him. He went to Bar Redux show on the outside for Young Funny Show.
Heat stroke.
He almost passed out. He couldn't deal. Air conditioner all the time. Let me tell you one thing. When I did, you know, off and on, when we were broken up or back together, when you would post pictures with your son, that really did always pull at my heartstrings, because I really did form a very tight bond with your kid, you know?
He still talks about you. I was in the shower the other day, and he came in just, like, randomly. I was like, hey, I was wondering when we're going to see Eric again. And I was like, oh, great. And some people have offered, actually the crazy guy I was dating offered to teach him some, this guy is a bail bondsman. He's in fugitive recovery. He's like a professional criminal, essentially. And he said he wanted to teach Archer some type of self-defense, some kind of shit where he wanted to like toss him around, and Archer was like, I already have a ninja teacher. I already have a ninja teacher. Yeah. But he does not want to get in the sauna with you again.
Well, that's the thing. That's part of ninja training. You go in the
2 minutes, and he thought that was hell.
He would always go, oh, we don't... How? Just check the temperature of the sauna before you go in. I was like, it's only 60 million degrees. We can go in. Don't worry.
So, how personal should we get here, on here?
I mean, how personal have we been so far? Pretty goddamn on the nerve.
Are we probably ever going to see each other again after this?
I don't know.
Probably not. I'm going to move out of the state within like 2 weeks.
Well, I could go to Austin, because if I do my special, I'm going to go through Austin, so I could see you.
Would you forgive me and want to see me no matter what? No matter what I reveal on here, would you forgive me and want to see me again?
I'm not sure. What are you going to reveal?
Why do you think our relationship failed the very one and only time that I let you put me in a little relationship cage back in May on my birthday? Why do you think we failed and broke up?
I don't know.
I want you to think about it.
Well, from what I remember, it was because you really wanted me to stay over. We broke up when you got sick, and I couldn't take care of you that day. So I was like, you're home. I can either take you to the doctor right now, or I don't know what to tell you.
And I was mad at you for not taking care of my needs. What else do you remember?
I don't know, you were always dating other people. You got a mommy grant from a banker, I remember. There was all sorts of other dudes would...
Way after we broke up.
One time when we were in a...
Story recording?
Yes, when we were in a relationship at what... Just the battery compartment almost open.
One time when we were in a relationship...
Okay, sure.
Once.
Okay, so let me say that one time...
Okay,
imagine your girlfriend gets a $120 haircut paid for some dude that she used to know in Texas. There was always signs that there were other dudes around that were buying you expensive haircuts and doing so...
Nobody bought me a haircut.
Oh, really? What? Didn't Baby Millionaire buy you a haircut at Pierre Fucky Fucky that one time?
Long before I ever moved to New Orleans?
No. In New Orleans.
In New Orleans. I've only had one haircut in New Orleans. And I paid for it. Pierre Fuckfuck? Who's Pierre Fuckfuck?
I don't know. Some foofy, the highest level barber in New Orleans.
You're
No. It's on Magazine Street. I drove you to get a haircut.
You drove me there, but I didn't get
Parker.
It was the Parker, the Aveda studio. I had like a coupon for, I don't know, maybe like $20 off on their fucking $70 haircut. But I paid for that.
I remember you saying Baby Millionaire paid for it.
Baby Millionaire paid for that?
Yes.
He paid for probably a haircut the year before in Austin at the similar Aveda studio. Because I want high class haircuts. I get like one or two haircuts a year.
Sure. So I remember driving you, my girlfriend, to get a haircut that was paid by another dude. I don't know. Are you revealing to me that you had sex with somebody else while we were in a relationship? And you already alluded to the fact that I was a terrible lover. It wouldn't be the biggest surprise.
Well, yeah. And you know that I have a thing for long-haired musicians.
Sure.
That's why I got sick. I actually think he gave me strep throat. Which you then got. I went out because there were people in New Orleans from my amazing hometown, and they were in town, and I met up with them. We went out, and we stayed up till the sun came up, and yeah.
So what is it? I'm just like why do I continue to have issues? I'm just like a walking doofus.
We had very bad sexual chemistry. Like, we had a very terrible sex life, I thought, in my opinion. I felt, even though there was the one time that I actually like let go and enjoyed myself, you went down on me for like a half hour, and then I finally got off, which was great. It was, you know, it's not uncharacteristic for it to take a half hour. It felt great, and then immediately, I mean, I like released, let go, enjoyed it, and then the second I'm done, you're like, okay, hey, chop chop, suck the dick, like it's time for you to reciprocate. And that's like when our 8-day love affair ended. You talk about it in your paper you wrote, the hippie Texas yoga MILF that got banned for you from UNO. But yeah, that's where it ended the first time, because I was like, hey, here's this guy doing something really unselfish and giving and like taking half an hour of his time to put his face between my legs. And
that sounds like a pretty nice guy, you know?
Yeah, fuck yeah. And doing the work for half an hour, right? It's not easy always. And then at the end of it, when I'm like rolling in bliss, this motherfucker is like,
oh yeah. Do you know now what you
reciprocate.
You know what a relationship, do you know how horny I was at that point? It would take like four and a half seconds at that point.
Yeah, well, I wasn't feeling it, and it made me feel like you were just in it to get something out of it. You know, like,
yeah, that's what a relationship is. So I'm not
immediate. No, a relationship is not mutual usury. And to think that way, it leads to a bitterness. If I try to think, you know, of a relationship as mutually using each other, it makes me very bitter.
I don't think of it as mutual using each other. I think of it as doing things for each other that because you love them. And I felt like I would always do things, and then you would never think to do anything for me. That's how I felt.
If my boyfriend was not on 5-hour energy, then we would have been able to relax and enjoy ourselves. And maybe we could have laid there for another 10 minutes as I was in orgasmic bliss. And then I would have been like, hey, handsome, like, thanks for all that work. I was tired. I was so tired. And I had to wake up early the next day. I probably would have just wanted to sleep. But I felt like my life had been so stressful and tense at that point that I thought you were doing that, you know, giving me the oral pleasure to basically be like, hey, relax. But really, it was to be like, hey, suck my cock. And that is why it felt insincere. Like a lot of the things you did for me, it would be like, wow, this person cares about me. And then boom, actually, here's what I want. Here's my demand. Here's my goddamn to-do list thing I need to check off.
Okay, but you think a relationship is like the guy endlessly does things for me, and then the second I'm disappointed, I justify however I want, and then I go, no, I'm not going to do anything back.
I need to
be with someone who's like, when I do things for them, I don't have to be like, excuse me. They just start you know what I mean?
Wait, what are you saying?
I think that you misconstrue dating by saying that what dating is someone does everything for me. I lay back, I get my pussy eaten, for 30 minutes and then I go to sleep. And then that can happen for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I just keep getting shit.
We have a society where, like, men's pleasure is somehow rated over women's. And, yeah, we do have a society.
Not over. I ate your pussy first. Dude, how disrespectful.
I've had so many sexual experiences with men where I would say 60% of my sexual experiences with men where they had orgasms and they came, there was nothing in it for me. And so every once in a while, there comes along, like, a gem of a guy who kind of realizes this unfair injustice and is like, I'm here to set out and make it right. And I thought you were that guy because you put your face in my pussy for 30 minutes. And I thought you were that guy, but then you were like,
hear that, ladies?
This is just for blowjobs. Yeah, hear that, ladies? He's only going to please you to get something in return.
Yeah, well, 60% of guys just nut and then they say, get out of the fucking truck. I'm fronting.
Don't talk about your prostitute experience on front the street.
Okay, don't bring up my prostitute. All right, let's get Mohammed and talk about that. I already talked to Mohammed about my prostitute experience on this podcast.
So what's your favorite memory of me? Me and you, this beautiful face. What's your favorite memory? What's your favorite Kristen memory?
I do remember being very attracted to you when we first met.
Were on mushrooms?
Yeah, I showed up to the mansion on mushrooms, and I saw this girl and you wanted weed, and it was cool. It just seemed very organic the way we met, because we were both friends with Kelly Stone. She used to run the mansion, the bed and breakfast, and then you ran it, and I don't know, as soon as I saw you, I just remember being very attracted to you, and I thought you were very funny.
You thought I was funny? Is that why you asked me to be on your podcast, or is it because I have a story to tell?
Well, I asked you to be on my podcast because I was broken up with 6 days ago by John Rowe telling me that some chick is making out with...
So you thought it would be the ultimate burn to your soul to have your other ex-girlfriend on here?
No, I'm just trying to...
I was going to also reveal that she cheated on you again on...
Not surprising. You know, and I took, you know, I took you to my therapist. I tried to explain how crazy I am.
He was like, let's not break up. Love therapy. Let's go. Couples therapy. And he told us both we were crazy.
Duh.
But in similar ways, it was like, you're very fucking different, but there's a craziness element about both of you. You both think that other people are doing stupid shit, and you're on a serious mission in life, I think is what he said was our common bond. He's like, but everything else is fucked. And our mothers, we both... I remember when we were on our first date official. Well, we had, I guess our first date was when we went out for jazz on Frenchman.
Yeah.
But then our second date, the lunch date that I did not cancel,
where we went to Wasabi, the sushi place, and then we decided not to go there and we walked to another place.
Right. And when we went to Wasabi and we walked in and it was dimly lit. They were cleaning. They were getting ready to close in like 20 minutes. And it was a beautiful day. And they were clearly getting ready to close, but they wanted to serve us. And I was like, hey, look, Eric, like, it's a beautiful day. These people can get off work in like 10 minutes if we leave. So we should just go. And you were like, damn, look at this girl, like, thinking about other people's feelings and changing up her own plans to consider that other people want to enjoy some of the beautiful day. So we walked and went somewhere else. Sat down. You remember?
Yeah.
Is that what you were thinking?
Did we go to the Royal Oyster House then?
Is that what you were thinking? Like,
yeah.
I remember you were kind of surprised that I considered the day that the people were going to have if they stopped.
I like people who think about working people. Not every. Some people treat working people like very entitled and don't consider the feelings. And that's another Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag, the heartbreak episode. I just want to say, after we stopped recording, Kristen Jones went into great detail. See, I had been thinking that we broke up because I didn't take care of her when she was sick. But apparently that was the smokescreen, the cover story. She told me that she got strep throat by making out with a musician dude that she stayed up with. Late in the evening, and he was so sexy and had these golden locks. So what should she do? So she got sick making out with him and sucking his dick. So then I swoop in there, the next morning, and I say hi, I offered to take her to the doctor, and she said that she's breaking up with me because I didn't stay with her and take care of her.
I wanted tacos that morning. I wanted tacos that morning. I wanted tacos that morning. I wanted tacos that morning.
When she got sick, blowing another dude. So that's been my dating life in New Orleans. It's been pretty great. You know, just when you think you're all alone in the world, a song will be the anthem of your heartbreak.
Here's a song by Garfunkel and Oates called The Fadeaway. This expresses how I feel about my love life.
We've been on a bunch of dates. We hate that state of forced introspection. We traded wit, we swapped some spit. You fingered me a little bit, but we never really had a connection. You did nothing wrong. I have no excuse. Just my intuition telling me we shouldn't reproduce. I know I have to end it, but pretend to just suspend it by contending that I'm busy all week. I let the foregone linger on. Text back with an emoticon. Withdraw from you by being oblique. Inside I know my tactics. Just delay it. But I'll do anything so I don't have to say it. I'll draw this out forever like it's Vietnam. Then one day I'll be gone like Bambi's mom. Aww. Cause there's the right thing to do. Then there's what I'm gonna do. There's so much I should say, but instead, I do the fadeaway. Now I'm fading like chalk on a sidewalk, or the polio virus after Jonas Salk, a Jewish guy in Arby's on Yom Kippur,
the Whig Party post Millard Fillmore,
the erection of a man on antidepressants, the cast of different strokes after adolescence, reproductive rights below the Mason-Dixon,
Native Americans after the barter system,
your thyroid gland after Hashimoto, family in the Back to the Future photo. Yeah, I fade away. We say that men are assholes who don't communicate. We revel in our victimhood and amplify our hate. We find ways to be indignant like it's a sport. Then dissect their malignance with the views we distort. The way men break up may be sloppy and terse. What they do is bad, but what we do is worse. We pretend to ourselves it's the nice thing to do. To let you down gently by just not fucking telling you. And deep down we know it's the worst way to play it. But we are what we have. Huge pussies. And women are hypocrites, especially ones in comedy bands. We see your faults, but not our own. Then we wonder why we're all alone. We fill you up with maybes, excuses, and stalls, but like a baby in China, it's better to have balls. Not the good wife type like Christine Baranski, so I'll pull out and leave like I'm Roman Polanski. Aww. Cause there's the right thing to do. Then there's what I'm gonna do. There's so much I should say, but instead, I do the fadeaway. Like Brutal Kent fading into Kaiser Soze.
The rights in Arizona for a guy named Jose.
Opportunities for a college grad.
The love between your mom and dad.
Gonna peter out like a gay Satara.
Iranian relations since the Reagan era.
Black Nike sneakers after Tapping Skate.
Sober camp attendance at Penn State.
The name Adolf after World War II. Like Debbie Gibson's pop career, out of the blue. Yeah, I fade away. Cause I don't wanna get to know you. I just want to blow you off.